We're continuing this morning thinking of,
in our series of thinking about our front lines, those places where we engage with other people, where we seek to serve God every day and in every place that we find ourselves. And those of you who have been here at one of our services over recent weeks will have seen this image of six red dots in the corner of 100 dots. And the six dots represent the church, the 6% of the population of the United Kingdom who are regularly part of a Christian church. 6%. And when you were huddled together in a little corner like that, it doesn't seem much, does it? The enormity of the task that we have of reaching out to the world around us seems incredibly difficult. But of course, we're not called to be huddled in the corner like that as the church. We are dispersed into the world around us. We are called not to be a religious huddle in the corner, not retreating from the world, but following the command of Jesus and going into the world in his name, in his power, and in his authority. And when we do that, then our influence is much greater. We start to shape and transform the world around us by the words that we say, by the things that we do, by the work that we do, by who we are, just by the fact that we are in the world for Jesus. And so this morning we're continuing on that theme, and we're going to be thinking about whoever we are, whoever we are. And we're going to be taking a passage from Matthew's Gospel. We're reading that now. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 14. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 14. It says this. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. A word of prayer together. Lord God, we thank you that we have the freedom to open up our Bibles and to read your word to us. May we never take this for granted, but always see it as an incredible privilege and a joy and a wonder that you, Lord, speak to us through your word. Help us now in our understanding. By your Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds and our ears to receive all that you have for us. And then, Lord, help us to take those things with us out into the world as we seek to live our lives for you and for your glory alone. Amen. Amen. I wonder if you ever ask yourselves the question, what difference can I make? What difference can I be? What can I do to change things? How can I be a red dot that influences other people in the world and in the places that I go to? How can I make a difference? Well, perhaps we can take some inspiration from this young lady. Of course, many of you will know her, Greta Thunberg. And you will know her story, no doubt, how in August of 2018, August of last year, as a 15-year-old, she began to, by herself, protest outside the Swedish Parliament. School strike for climate is she what she labelled her protest. 1 year ago, it was just her. And then, a year later, at least 7 million people have taken part in similar climate change protests. They've joined Greta in her protest, following her example, being inspired by her, being encouraged by her, being challenged by her to do something to make a difference. What difference can I make? Well, the wonderful thing is that however we feel today, however insignificant we might feel, we can make all the difference. We can make all the difference, not because of who we are, but because of who we are in Christ. Because first of all, we are sons and daughters of the King. Our value, our significance, comes from who we are in God. And you know, that prayer that we read there earlier, the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, it can be so familiar to us. We can sometimes just skate through the words and they kind of roll off our tongue. And we may not stop too long to think about what we're praying. But this is a prayer that Jesus gave his friends, his followers, because it's a prayer that helps us to understand just who we are. But that we have a unique identity in God. On your chairs this morning as you came in, there was a card for you. And I'd encourage you, if you've got one, just take a look at it at a moment. Because this is who you are. If you are a follower of Jesus, this is who you are. These are all descriptions from the Bible that describe you. Now, you may have been described as lots of things in your life. Some of them good and some of them not so good. But look at some of these descriptions. That you are sons, daughters, you are image bearers, heirs, first fruits of God's creation, friends of Jesus. You are a blessing. You are brothers and sisters, citizens of heaven, stewards, children of Abraham, holy chosen people, disciples, believers, servants, saints. You know, realize you're a saint this morning? Yeah? Saint Jeff in the front row here? Saint Rosalie? Saint Linda? Saint John? That name's already taken Saint John, isn't it? But saints. It's what we are in Christ. Followers of the way, prophets, priests. You have a special label to be a priest. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're a priest. All of you. All of us. Temples of the Holy Spirit, ministers of a new covenant, witnesses, salt of the earth, light of the world, strangers, aliens, ambassadors of the King. Just some of the titles that are given to those who are in Jesus Christ in the world. Not one of them speaks of insignificance or unimportance. Importance or irrelevance. But in Christ we have a unique identity and a unique purpose. And that prayer that we read, it begins with that wonderful truth that Jesus invites us to pray, Our Father in heaven. That's what we are, sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. Whoever we are and whatever we've done, we are loved as a child of God. We are loved as children of God. And you know, there will be some times in life when when everything seems to go wrong, and when we find ourselves in the middle of a storm and it all seems to be chaos and confusion around us, there will be some times in life when simply knowing that we are a child of God will be the thing that gets us through, will be the anchor in our storm. Because we can declare that truth, I am a loved child of God, and God will never, ever let you go from his love. We can call God our Father. Some of you may have heard of this man. His name is Krish Kandiah. He was one of the lecturers that when I was at college, and as well as his theological lecturing, he also heads up an organization called Home for Good. And Home for Good works to find foster home and adoption homes for vulnerable children and young people. And Krish and his wife Miriam have seven children from birth and adoption, and children they foster. And last year, Krish made this very short video that speaks about what it means to be able to come to God and know him as our Father.
I stood nervously in the courtroom, a beautiful 2-year-old girl fidgeting in my arms. She munched raisins and played with the ribbons on her dress as I waited impatiently for the verdict. Her curly blonde hair blatantly betrayed the fact that she did not share my DNA. But that did not matter to the judge, as he decreed from that day onward she would share everything that my family stood for. The judge stamped the paperwork, adopted.
And that was the day I became her father, forever.
That was the day she took on my name, forever.
We were ushering in a new phase of our family, together.
When I read or say the Lord's Prayer, I notice the same connections. We pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We say, Your kingdom come. I believe that as we understand our adoption into God's family, we unlock something of the mystery and the majesty of this prayer. 7 years after I adopted my daughter, I found myself once again waiting a verdict. Another child needed to be welcomed permanently into my family. This time it was a 4-year-old boy who had the most difficult of starts in life. As a result, he often used to hide in the furthest corners of the house. He avoided other people at all costs. He hardly spoke. One afternoon, he suddenly appeared in the kitchen, silently holding up to me a toy car with a broken wheel. I fixed it for him and off he went to hide again. A couple of minutes later, he returned, offering me the vehicle, broken again. I fixed it again. And again. After 10 or 12 occasions, a guest in my house got a little exasperated and suggested that I should throw the car away.
With a tear in my eye, I explained that this broken car might just be the best thing that he owned.
It was bringing us together. It was forging communication between adopter and adoptee. It was enabling him to begin to trust me as a father desperate for him to know love and care. When we pray, Thy kingdom come, when we pray for our family, friends and neighbours to come to know Jesus Christ, we're offering up our broken world for God to fix. And as we pray, we're learning to trust the Father who has adopted us. We're ushering in a new family future together.
We're embarking on an adoption adventure that will change the world.
So our Father in heaven speaks of that incredible relationship that we have with God, a relationship that is made possible through Jesus. And Jesus encourages us to pray that prayer, to remind ourselves again and again, time and time again, of who we are. We are children of God. We're called to pray, "Hallowed be your name," praying for our part in the Father's business. Spoke a little bit about this last week. For those of you who were here, you might remember it. I talked about the fact that we enter into a family business as children, as sons and daughters of God. We're welcomed into that family business, a business that is about bringing redemption and healing and wholeness to the world. Every part, in every part, in every place, to every person. So this is why your front line matters to God. Because you are the one who will hallow God's name in the place where you go to. You are the one who bring him honor and glory in the place that you work, in the clubs that you're in your family gatherings together. We're called to play our part in that. And, sometimes we, as Christians, we can act as though we think that we've signed God up onto our team. You ever get that feeling sometimes, that we've signed up God to help us in our causes, with our agendas? We sort of add God into our team. The truth is very different. The truth is that we join with him in his work in redeeming and renewing the world. You see, the sad thing is, when we start to think that we've got God onto our side, we've enlisted him onto our team, we start to do things like fighting wars in God's name, oppressing people in God's name. We start to twist the laws and in God's name, thinking we can do that. You only have to look at some of the conflicts and wars that have been fought through history to see that, where we've enlisted God onto our side, not us joining with God in his work of redeeming the world. So we're called to pray, "Hallowed be your name," not "Hallowed be my name," not "Hallowed be our name," but "Hallowed be your name." We're called to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Praying for a regime change. Not the overthrowing of a government, not the overthrow of a nation, but praying that God's kingdom might come, might break in and be known. Now, sometimes we don't like change, do we? Change can be challenging. We like our safety and our security and our comfort, and that all seems very attractive. But the followers of Jesus are called to pray for change. That God's will would be done in the world, here and now. Not at some point in the future when it's all very convenient, but here and now, today. That God's kingdom might be known. You know, when Jesus first taught this prayer to his followers, there was the mighty Roman Empire, was all powerful. And the religious people of the day were trying to work out how they were going to fit in with that. Some of them wanted to conform with the Roman way of doing things and were quite happy to adjust to that way of doing. Some of them thought that they should completely withdraw themselves and go and live out in the desert and away from people. And then there were others who were just trying to get on with life and making the best of it as they could. But then Jesus came into that situation and said, "Look, the kingdom of God is here and now, and you're part of it. We're called to make a difference in the world, to proclaim the truth of God, to live our lives for him, wherever he's called us to, whatever he's called us to be, to live our lives for him, praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. Our call is not to conform to the world around us. Our call is not to cut ourselves off from the world. But our call is to be in the world for Jesus, proclaiming the truth about him. We're called to pray, give us today our daily bread. Anyone have a slice of toast this morning? Oh, one or two people, yeah, one or two people had a slice of toast this morning. Well, praying for our daily bread suggests that attitude of constantly relying on God, doesn't it? It doesn't say, we're not called to pray for our bread for the rest of the week. We're called to pray for our bread today. Of course, that points us back, doesn't it, to that time that we read about in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 16, where God's people were wandering through the wilderness. They'd been led out of captivity, and here they found themselves on a journey. And the people started to grumble, we haven't got enough to eat. So what did God do? God provided food. Bread, manna, bread from heaven. And if you read that account in Exodus chapter 16, you'll soon discover that God sent the bread every day. Not enough for the whole week, enough for the day. And when the people started to think, what about if God lets us down? What about if God fails to provide? You'll remember that what the people tried to do is to store up the bread. They thought, well, let's just gather enough for today and keep some for another day as well. And when they did that, when they went back the next day to the bread that they'd stored up, you'll remember that it was full of maggots. It had gone completely rotten. What was all that about? It was about a lesson for them of trusting God. Trusting God day by day, in everything that we do, even to the extent of the bread that we eat, the basic food of life. Trusting God for it and in it. It's about every day and every moment trusting God. It's about realizing that we depend on God for everything, but also that we can trust God in everything. That can be a challenge to some of us who sometimes like to think that we're in control of things and that we're the ones calling the shots. That's a lesson to us to remember that we rely and trust in God every day, every moment. We're called to pray, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Jesus gave this prayer to his friends, recognizing that they would fail, recognizing that we would fail, recognizing that we need forgiveness, recognizing that we need to forgive others. You know, the simple truth is that we're not as good as we think we are, and people around us are not as good as we wish they were. That's the truth of it, isn't it? And yet the wonderful thing is that Jesus steps in to break that cycle of guilt and shame. He steps in to break that and set us free from it, that we might know forgiveness, that we might receive forgiveness, and also that we might offer forgiveness to others. And as we think about this in the context of our front lines, how might we bring forgiveness into our frontline places, into those relationships that we have with others, into the places that we work, into the the clubs that we're part of? Do we sometimes bear grudges that have long-standing grudges? Perhaps something's happened at work to us that we just hold on to and feel hard done by. And we might have every justification to feel hard done by. But is that then holding us back and keeping us down? Jesus invites us to be forgiven where we have fallen and made mistakes, but also invites us to offer forgiveness to others, that we might be set free from all that would hold us back and hinder us. Praying for yesterday's mistakes, giving it over to God. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I think Jesus completely understood that we were going to find this tough. We were going to find this difficult being his disciples, following him in the world, acknowledging that there is an enemy who wants to lead us away from the things of good, from the things that are true, from the things that are righteous, from the things that are just. So an enemy wants us to lead us away from the ways of the kingdom of God. And so those times of testing will come. We're called to pray for protection. Pray for help. Pray for strength. And that's particularly true as we go onto our front lines. It's particularly true to know that we don't go alone. You know, sometimes you might feel that you're the only Christian in your place of work. You might feel that you're the only Christian in your social club. You might feel that you're the only Christian in your family. But the wonderful thing is that you don't go into that situation alone. We go with the powerful, protecting, life-giving presence of God into those places, into those situations. And serving God on our front lines is not about trying harder. It's about learning to allow God to work in us and through us. Allowing his resurrection power to flow through our lives as we take hold of the things that he has called us to do. It's all about knowing who God is, but also knowing who we are in him. And so we can be confident. We can be confident that we can make a difference. Not only because of what we do, but because of whose we are. Because of what God is doing in us and through us. We can be secure in our identity. And we can be confident wherever God calls us and wherever God leads us.
Evening comes.
Lay tasks to rest.
Thoughts reflecting on the day.
The gifts you give.
The people you trust me with.
What an honour it is.
To work within your plan.
You know my name.
For the work you give me, your strength sustains.
Yet I am more to you than instrument.
I am son, daughter, friend.
In my inmost, knit to you.
Inseparable.
Invaluable.
Loved.
Celebrated.
Heard.
Pursued.
Grace abounding.
found in you.
My work could not win this gift from you.
Let's know who we are in Christ and then go and live that in the world around us. Let's share in this prayer together. Perhaps if together we read the words in the yellow print, and then I'll read the words in the white print. So we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We give you glory as Lord over every part of our lives. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your kingdom come in our workplaces and our homes. May your will be done in the places where we live our lives, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Lord, you are our true provider. Remind us of this as we work, cook, care, and share. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We confess our everyday mistakes and failures. Help us to act towards the people we meet on our front lines in the same gracious way that you act towards us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Guide us, Holy Spirit, in the places we find ourselves, to walk in your ways and act in your will. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Lord, this is all about you. We submit our front lines, our ambitions, our lives to your will as offerings of worship. Now and forever. Amen.